and on Facebook, the alarm of my phone has just gone off because it's 7 o'clock, and I have it set for 12 noon and 7, so at the beginning of the service this morning, it also went off, and that's a reminder to pray to God every day concerning the situation in our nation. So we'll bow together just for a moment's prayer. Almighty God, at this moment, we draw aside into the courts of heaven. We come before the throne of heavenly grace to commit our way unto the Lord and to pray especially for the nation, for our province, for the coronavirus that is spreading so rapidly throughout the world. We pray that the Lord will be pleased to hear our cry as we intervene on our behalf for the sake of the remnant, for the people of God. We thank thee that the ear of God is open to the cry of the righteous, and we pray now that thou wilt hear our cry, that thou wilt stay this virus, that thou wilt bring healing, Lord, to the nations of the world. We humble ourselves before thee. We repent of our sin. We acknowledge that we have transgressed the commandments of God. But we pray that you will forgive us and that you will come, Lord, in answer to our prayer and bless the nation and bless the sick and bless the needy, bless the lonely, in Jesus' name. Amen. We enter, as we see in the text, into the gates of God with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and we are thankful unto him. We bless his name, and so we begin with a song tonight to worship the Lord. And remember, you're listening to a pre-recorded hymn, the hymn 265, that marvelous hymn, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene."
Well, let's continue the good singing that we've had up until now on our opening hymn. Let's all stand. Sing and the blood shall never lose its power. We're always delighted to have with us Dr. Cairns, and for many years Dr. Cairns was a lecturer in systematic theology. I couldn't even spell those big words, and our dear brother faithfully taught our students in the Whitfield College, and we are going to ask Dr. Cairns to come and to lead us to the throne of grace in prayer, please. But the final verse, would you do service For Jesus, your King, there's power in the blood. We can only do our service through the merit.
Well, I continue to speak then. So, some technical hitches, unexpected, but there you go. I'm sure we're forgiven, not just for one mistake, for two mistakes, because Dr. Cairns is not here to lead in prayer. And in the providence of God, we have this lovely hymn about the blood of Christ, would you be free from your burden of sin? And that was to be sung later, so we will swap the hymns around. But we're going to pray, seek the Lord together. We have been thinking of the text from 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And let's pray on the basis of the word of God and the promises of the Lord. Let's come before his presence now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we draw aside into the courts of heaven again, through the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood, we do so, we trust with a humble heart, in full recognition of who God is, whose presence it is that we are drawing near unto now. Thou art the God of glory, the God of heaven and earth, the Creator who made all things and made them perfect at the beginning, who was able to look at his own creation and say again and again, it is good. Thou art the judge of all men, and we know that one day we will stand in the presence of God before thy throne at the great judgment day, and thou art the Savior, the Redeemer of men. And we bless thee for that as we come to a gospel service, a place where your word will be proclaimed, where men will hear the gospel, will have an opportunity to respond to that message and get right with God. How we bless thee that a Savior has come. He has come to live on this earth, to walk among men, to go about doing good as your word tells us, and to perform those mighty miracles that he did, demonstrating his own divine omnipotent power. And for the preaching of the word, thank thee for those sermons that are recorded in the Gospels that give us a flavor of what the Lord spoke about when he was here upon the earth. Many times we've read those sermons. We've been blessed in our own hearts. And Lord, we thank thee that this Savior went to the cross of Calvary at the conclusion of his ministry. And there he laid down his life that we might be saved, that we might be ransomed. We thank thee that salvation is real, therefore, and that thou art able to save men. And we pray that this Savior will come among us tonight, will bless those that are sitting in their homes listening in to this service. We pray that you will speak to them just where they are. We praise thee that distance is no problem with God. And even though we're preaching tonight, as it were, to an empty church, we thank thee that they're in front of computer screens and tablets and phones. There are those that are listening to the word of God as it goes forth in this house. And Lord, though there is a distance between us and them, we pray that thou will draw graciously near by the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that thou will speak just where they are sitting in the confinement of their own home in this time of crisis in the world. Lord, we thank thee that God reigneth on high. He is supreme in all things. He's the sovereign God who sits upon the throne, who works out his own purpose in this earth. We realize that nothing can thwart the decree of God. And Lord, thou hast ordained all that will come to pass in this world, even in the small things. And Lord, even at the beginning of this service, we know that there were technical hitches. And Lord, we take that as your providence. And we just pray that you will bring all things together tonight for your glory. Help us to honor the Lord. Help us to worship him, to glory in his great name. Now, Lord, you know what's happening in the nations of the earth. We listen to the media. We hear the news coming in of what's going on in countries that are more advanced at this moment in time with the coronavirus. We think of all those that have been hospitalized. We think of those that are in intensive care. Indeed, we think of the many who have perished in because of this virus. And Lord, it's creeping further and further towards this country, and things are getting worse, and we see that. Oh God, we commit ourselves to Thee, to the God who is over all, that You will work out Your purpose in my life, in my family's life, in this church's life, in our sister churches, and right across the length and breadth of this province. Lord, work out Your purpose in every life. There are those connected to us that are not saved. Lord, we are very mindful of them. We think of how we preached last Sunday night on the need to be ready to meet God, the need to be ready for death, for the coming of the Savior, and how the Lord cautioned the people of His day, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And Lord, there are some a week later, and they're still not ready, and they have not got right with God. Lord, we plead for them now. May they see the seriousness of what is going on in the land. May they realize that tomorrow is not their own, that what happens over the course of the next week or the next number of weeks is not in their power, and it may mean for some death and eternity. And Lord, they're not ready for death. They're not right with God. We pray that Thou wilt, by the power of the Spirit, convict them of their sin and draw them irresistibly to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. Lord, grip them just where they're sitting tonight, in their own homes. Lord, speak to them. Open their heart to the truths of the gospel. Thank Thee for the improvement with Pastor Mark McClung. Thank Thee that he's getting a little bit better. You've answered prayer even since this morning. Continue to put Your hand upon him and others who were hospitalized at this time. Now, Lord, remember Vanessa and her family back there in Spain with the passing of her grandmother. Lord, in this time of sadness and sorrow, may Jesus, the great sympathizing heavenly high priest, draw near to that family and go with them in their sorrow. We know that God is pleased to do these things. Oh, Lord, we commit this family into Your care and into Your keeping. And bless Your word as it is preached throughout the country, over the internet, in so many places. May God be glorified, and may Christ be honored, in whose name we now pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I think we're actually coming back to this hymn now. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned and unclean. We do commend the words to you as we stand to sing. If you're sitting in front of your computer screen, maybe we'll not expect you to stand, but it's very difficult to sing a hymn like this and not stand when you're singing, I stand amazed in the presence. But let's hear the hymn tonight. May it be a blessing to us all as we worship the Lord together.
Thank you.
one of my favorite hymns, I'm sure you'll agree. And when you come to that fourth verse, it is the heart of the gospel. And I love to sing those words. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden. And I sometimes like to sing, he bore my burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. I trust that that hymn has been a great encouragement to you. Now we bid you welcome, those that are tuning in, maybe by sermon audio, or on the other hand, Facebook. Both are being operated tonight. Welcome to Hebron in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you know by now how it is that we're meeting. Our church building is closed for public worship, and we've had to do that for all the meetings in the church right through the week for the foreseeable future. We don't know how long that will be. We're in the hands of Almighty God. But we have this facility, and we thank God for the ministry of sermon audio and also Facebook Live. And as you join us sitting in your home, we trust that you'll feel part of the service tonight. And do remember me. It can be a wee bit lonely standing up here looking down on empty pews. Remember us as we seek to carry out our ministry for the Lord in this house. Now, just some announcements that we'd like to make. Youth Challenge is having this link up every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and it's going out on Facebook. So we want our children from Tuesday night, Sunday school children, of course, are welcome as well, to get online Tuesday night at 7 o'clock and listen to what is being said. So basically, there's a memory verse for them to learn, and we're going to keep with the same memory verse that was taught in the Sunday school this morning. And then there'll be a message, and I was asked to bring the first message. I think I was due to preach or to speak on Tuesday night anyhow. But we're going to talk to the children about what we preached on this morning, the Psalm 46. And it would be marvelous if the children connected to the church were to read this scripture every day and go down the Psalm 46. Just 11 verses, that's all. And maybe by the end of the pandemic, when we're able to get back to normality and church life, that they will have learned that psalm off by heart, because I believe it is so crucial to our understanding of what God is doing in the world at this time. And they might think, oh, I couldn't learn all 11 verses. Well, it'll surprise you. You read it every day. And I guarantee within a very short few days, the children will begin to memorize what that psalm is all about. Wednesday, in the will of God, is the wedding of Paul and Anita, having to be brought forward from Easter time. Just in a few days' time, it'll be a small family occasion under the circumstances. But as a congregation, we wish them well, and we trust that the presence of God will be with them, that the Lord's arms will be round about them, that they will know his near presence on that occasion as they come together under very difficult circumstances for them. But as they come together in married life, may the Lord's blessing be their portion. We will be back here in the church, likely standing in this pulpit again on Thursday night. So we have the facility of both sermon audio and Facebook to broadcast the message that we will bring on Thursday night, keeping in contact with our congregation and anybody else that listens in, so that the Word of God is going out and that there is a message for you in these difficult days. That's Thursday night, 8 o'clock, as we broadcast God's Word. Friday night, the Youth Fellowship is having a link up, and they're doing it through a method called Zoom. I'm not so familiar with this particular application, but the young people are getting this downloaded to their phones and so forth. And if they need any information about that, then Samuel, our youth leader, is the one to contact. Let me tell you about next Lord's Day. Back here at the House of God, there will be the Sabbath School broadcast at 11, the Bible class broadcast at the same time, our services 12 noon and 7 o'clock, and in the will of God, I'll be here to preach the Word. We acknowledge again the missionary gift of £230, and we thank you sincerely for that. Continue to pray for the sick of the congregation. And these are the names. You can go in later to sermon audio and just freeze that screen and take a little bit of time to pray for these individuals, that the hand of God will indeed be upon them. We've indicated to you already that Pastor Mark McClung is improving, and the family do appreciate those who are remembering this man of God in prayer. Remember the other pastors, their names not known to us really. Maybe we can't say that tonight, but they are in ICU with the coronavirus. Pray that the Lord will be there to cheer them, encourage them, and help them through. Just want to remind you that myself as the minister, Alex Bernabeu as the home missioner, the office bearers, that's the elders and the committee men of the church, together with others who have volunteered, are available to help with the elderly, the vulnerable, the sick, and those in need. And just to stress, we will be working under strict health and safety rules due to the spread of COVID-19. We're happy to encourage you by a phone call. There shouldn't be any danger spreading the virus by a phone call. We are also willing for those who are in need to run an errand to collect groceries or medication and drop them at your doorstep. And this will be done with the wearing of medical gloves. We will certainly pray for you at this time. If you have any particular prayer that you need, please contact us. Get in touch with us so that we can remember that matter specifically at the throne of grace. And if there's anything else that I've missed there that we can help you with, please let us know. And the numbers you can contact, myself and Alex, or one of the elders or the deacons, you maybe have their numbers already. We will be ringing round the seniors and the vulnerable of the congregation, those in need, and we're hoping to do that on a weekly basis. And so the elders and the deacons have a list each to ring every week, and I will try to do that also towards the end of the week, every week, as this pandemic lasts. Reaching out into the community, we will be spreading the gospel. Again, taking safe measures to do this, delivering leaflets to the doors of people who live in this area, just offering our help in whatever way we can safely give help to them. Let me mention again, as many have been asking, the methods of receiving tithes and offerings as we worship, continue to worship God in this way. As you bring in for the building fund, let the Bible speak, the missionary covenants, and all that you do as a church. First of all, you can do it by a bank transfer, and we will be sending out details of the bank. Number two, you can put it into an envelope posted through the man's door. This will be passed on to the treasurer. Number three, you can get a committee man to collect it, or our brother Alex be willing to do that, or myself. And any other information regarding giving to the Lord's work, see our treasurer, Mr. Ivor Buick, or one of the committee members. There's a lovely hymn that we want to sing just now in the hymn book, if you're following it at home. It's the hymn 597. And again, remember, you're listening to a pre-recorded song. Who are these beside the chilly wave? Let's be blessed together as we listen to this hymn being sung.
Sing it very big. Oh,
verse we're delighted to have with us.
Sing upon the ever-shining shore, sing may the death and sorrow are o'er. Happy now and evermore, worship the God of the land. Sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem, worship the God of the land.
And as we think of those this very day that are sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem, you may have noticed even through the hymns that there are those that were singing there and are no longer with us. They're in glory and they're sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem. Why? Because they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Good to see some of those faces again. And in that sense, we've been glad to know that they're happy in glory, and it is well with them today. Turning to the Gospel of Luke, the chapter 12, as we come to read the scriptures and bring the message that God has laid upon my heart, and thinking again of what's going on in the nations of the world with coronavirus, we want to bring relevant warnings from Christ in such a time. I was reading through this chapter during the week, and I felt burdened in my heart to bring this message tonight. We're going to read from the opening verse. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And we'll end the reading there at verse 12. We'll bow together again just for a moment's prayer. Our sincere sympathy is with Vanessa and her family. We just learned today of her grandmother passing away. And we think of her loved ones that are back in the land of Spain. And we trust that the Lord will be near to them. Our Father, we know that in the midst of life we are in death. And through this world every day, every time we take a breath in our body, some soul is going out into the great eternity of God. And Lord, we are here, ordained of God, to preach your word and to prepare men and women and young people for the great eternity by showing them how they can be saved. Oh Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray for grace. I pray for power. Indeed, I cry in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit to come upon this earthen vessel and fill me with all that I need from God to bring the word tonight. Settle our minds and our hearts down in your presence now and speak to us all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Here's the great crowd smothering in upon the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. And in particular, on this occasion, to hear him preach the word. The expression here in verse 1, innumerable multitude, comes from a word that means myriads or the 10,000s. So here's the vast audience, and they have come to hear the Lord Jesus Christ preach the word. There was not a greater preacher than this man, who spoke with absolute perfect divine authority. He could speak with greater intensity as the prophets of old, who spoke, "Thus saith the Lord." True prophets had the mind of God in the message that they proclaimed. They brought direct communications from heaven to the needy people. Christ was on earth, and when he was on earth, he was God on earth. And so his discourses were in truth, "Thus saith the Lord." And we read in this passage of Scripture these words of Christ, "I say unto you." We have it in verse 4, we have it again in the 5th verse, and also in verse 8. And as we read these words of Christ, as he preaches, he is prefacing some very important truth which he's about to teach with this little phrase, "I say unto you." And as he does so, he is speaking as God Almighty. He is bringing a message of divine and infinite truth which men should heed. And therefore, it behoves men to sit up and to listen. It's Christ who is speaking. And what is he saying? Well, we need to hear this more than anything else in these days, with all that's abounding around us in the world and that's happening with this coronavirus. We need to hear what the Lord is saying. And there are three things that I want to point out to you tonight that touched my heart this week. Three things that Jesus is saying. First of all, there's a word of consternation. That's to do with fear. And then secondly, there's a word about confession, confessing Christ. And then we will come, in the will of God, to the third thought, a word about condemnation, where the Lord highlights an unforgivable sin. But before I come to these matters, let me bring you a word of great encouragement. We need this encouragement in these days of great apprehension and fear. For there is a little paragraph tucked into the middle of these words, which must be a word in season in these days of COVID-19 or coronavirus. The world is filled with dread and fear, and there are matters that concern us without doubt as we face a world pandemic of this nature, and as we see the disease spreading and men passing into eternity. We have taken every suitable and wise precaution to keep ourselves safe. We have listened to medical opinion. We have listened to government advice and guidance. We have listened to those words from our own presbytery executive committee. Do we have concerns? Of course we do. Are we troubled by the news that we hear every day? Most certainly. Are we protecting the elderly and the vulnerable? We're trying to do that. Are we reaching out into the community in this gospel opportunity? We have plans. My friends, here's a word in season to the troubled heart and the anxious soul, for those who are distressed in any way. And it's in the words of verses 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. It is a word from the lips of our blessed Savior to his own precious beloved children, those who have sought and found grace in his sight, those indeed who have anchored their souls in him and their eternal well-being in his great work. Basically, it's a message that simply reads, you are my child. You were not forgotten. You are always under my care. You are precious in my sight. Therefore, fear not. Do you see that little sparrow? Says the Lord. It's under the eye of God. It's beneath his tender care. Not one, we are told in another part of the Gospels, falls to the ground without our Heavenly Father knowing it. We have been surrounded by the house sparrows throughout our entire lives. They are found throughout Northern Africa, Europe, the Americas, and much of Asia. House sparrows have been seen feeding on the 80th floor of the Empire State Building. They have been spotted breeding nearly 2,000 feet underground in a mine in Yorkshire in England. The sparrow is the most common bird in the world. Reckoned that there are billions of them, each one of them known to God and precious in his sight. And Jesus says here, ye are of more value than many sparrows. I want you to think about that. And then look to the hairs of your head. And some people maybe don't have as much hair as they used to. And maybe to count the hairs of your head might be easier. As one preacher said, where there used to be waves, there's only beach. But you look to the hairs of your head, the Lord tells us. The Lord is emphasizing the same beautiful truth of his love and care. As he says, they are all numbered. Now it's reckoned that a redhead has something like 90,000 hairs. A dark-haired person has 120,000 hairs. And the blonde has about 145,000 hairs. And I don't know where I fit in. Doesn't make provision for the gray headed person, but maybe I have to think back to what it used to be like. God knows exactly how many hairs are in your head. And if he knows that about you, he knows about the important things. That's what the Lord is saying here. We sing that beautiful hymn, and we sang it last Thursday night at the prayer meeting. It seems so appropriate as we're passing through this pandemic. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Nothing can happen to the believer without divine permission. We are under the care of Almighty God, who knows every little sparrow and who knows how many hairs are on your head, every one of them. My dear child of God, be absolutely assured, come what may, God will take care of you. You are my child. You are not forgotten. You are always under my care. You're precious to me. Therefore, fear not. Isn't it a timely word in this passage of Scripture? Now, it doesn't mean that we will not contract COVID-19. It doesn't mean that we will never be sick or that we will not die. But it does mean that we are constantly, effectually, and absolutely under divine supervision, love, and care. J.C. Ryle, as he makes comment on this passage of Scripture, he says, "The providential government of God over everything in this world is a truth of which the Greek and Roman philosophers had no conception. It is a truth which is especially revealed to us in the Word of God. Just as a telescope or microscope shows us that there is order and design in all the works of God's hand, from the greatest planet down to the least insect, so does the Bible teach us that there is wisdom, order, and design in all the events of our daily life. There is no such thing as chance, luck, or accident in the Christian's journey through this world. All is arranged and appointed by God, and God causes all things to work together for the believer's good," Romans 8:28. And of course, we agree with everything that Ryle has said here. But let us hasten to our text. Let us come to the three things that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. And the first one that he's saying is a word about consternation or about fear. And I want to direct your attention to verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, "I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." The world is filled with fear and dread. And the men of this world, especially those who know not Christ as Savior, for they have no anchor, they have no foundation, they have no Christ, they have no stronghold, are compassed about with many fears and distresses. Fears about the present, fears about the future, fears about the family, fears about the economy, fears about business, fears about health, fears about the unknown, and not least, fears about coronavirus. We see the headlines every day. We see matters getting worse. We see the panic and the confusion. We see the statistics, the projections of how things might go in this nation if people are not careful. And even where people are careful, how they still might go. But it will be far worse if care is not exercised. I think we all have legitimate fears and concerns. And we ought to take precautions. But Jesus is drawing our attention to a great contrast here. The fears of this life and life itself and the possibility of losing it, and the fear we ought to possess of God and meeting him unprepared. I would not minimize any fear in this life, and we all have them. We've all had our sleepless nights and our restless days. But I would point you to Christ and the contrast he makes between losing your life in this world and losing your soul in the world to come. Because one is temporal and physical, the other is eternal. There is no comparison just an infinite contrast between the two. It is the natural tendency of all men, including Christians, to fear them who can kill us, who can take our lives away from us in this earth. And I'm sure the them in the text here includes diseases and viruses and accidents. For the disciples who were in the crowd that day, they faced persecution and martyrdom. Jesus knew them all. He knew that all of them, except for the beloved John, would die martyrs' deaths for him. And they did. Given the recent display of opposition towards Christ that we have at the end of the previous chapter in chapter 11, verses 53 and 54, it is reasonable to think that the disciples felt the increasing stress and anxiety leading up to the crucifixion of our Savior. These men would suffer and die, but all persecutors can do is to kill. That's all. And of course, ultimately, the power of life and death belongs to God in every life, and that certainly includes believers. For the child of God, it's the worst thing that can happen to us in earthly terms. I say the worst thing, but really it's the best thing, because nothing could be better than going to heaven. And that's what happens to the Christian when they die. But it is the last enemy to face in this life. Because when life is finished on earth, and the breath expires for the last time, and the soul takes its flight out into the great expanse of eternity, there is nothing more that man can do. Nothing more that persecutors and enemies and viruses and diseases can do. For the believer in Christ at that moment of death, we fly to heaven, the place that is prepared for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We go to be with him, which is far better. It will be well with us, more well than it ever has been before. And so really, what a happy moment it is for the Christian to close his eyes in the sleep of death on earth and to open his eyes in the splendor of heaven. And we should look forward to it with glad anticipation. However, there is a serious warning here for the unbeliever, the man who is not ready to meet God, who is not right in his sight. And here's what Jesus is saying to you. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. I say unto you, fear him. Now the word that the Lord Jesus uses here that is translated hell is in the Greek language the word Gehenna. It is derived from the words valley of Hinnom, which was located on the south and the west sides of Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, it was a place of child sacrifice to Molech. We learn that from 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 3. The king of the Reformation, the young king, Josiah, stopped child sacrifice in this valley. And we're told that in 2 Kings 23 and verse 10. It then became a refuge dump, a place of burnings, a stench with continually smoldering fires. And in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, it became associated with the eternal fiery punishment that awaits those who die in their sin. This place that the Apostle John in the book of Revelation calls the lake of fire. What must it be to go out into the eternal night of a lost eternity? What must it be to die in your sin? What must it be to be lost forever? And here is something that ought to make us tremble more than coronavirus, more than any virus, more than the worst of diseases that could possibly come upon us, more than anything else imaginable. An infinite, eternal, sovereign, almighty God, who is the supreme judge and ruler of all men, who will condemn sinners to everlasting hell for the countless ages of eternity, who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear sinner, sit up and pay attention. Wherever you are tonight, sitting in front of your computer screen listening to this message, or on your phone or your iPad, I'm saying to you, please sit up and listen to what the Lord is saying. Hear what Jesus is saying to your soul this night. I say unto you, fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. It is indeed a word of consternation, and you ought to pay attention to it and listen to what the Lord is saying. In the second place, there is a word about confession, confessing Christ. Look at verses 8 and 9. I say unto you, there is the same phrase again. Jesus is speaking. He's directing his attention to the people here and to you, my friend. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. We know the true confession, according to Romans chapter 10, is to confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and to believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For confession is made unto salvation. We know that. We're taught here in this passage that we must confess Christ upon earth if we expect him to own us as the saved at the last day. We must not be ashamed to own the Lord, to speak about the Lord, to serve him, to love him, to honor him. The duty of all true Christians in every age is to confess Christ, no matter what rank or station you belong to. Rich men who know Christ ought to confess him. Poor men who know Christ ought to confess him. Young men and old men alike, men in high positions, men of low estate, whether it's in the school or in the workplace or in the neighborhood, wherever it might be, our duty is to confess Christ. Now, you don't need to blow the trumpet in order to do that. And you must not be overbearing as you do so. We are to confess Christ. And we are to confess Christ every day. In our lips, the things that we say, obviously, we want to tell others about the Lord, who he is. Unashamed of him. I'm a Christian. I'm saved by the grace of God. This is what Jesus means to me. And going that little bit further, when we think of our lips, not to say things that are displeasing to God, because we are confessing Christ by the language that we use, by the words that we say. But not only do we confess Christ by our lips, we confess Christ by our living. How we conduct ourselves, even before we say one word. People look at us. And as they look at us and our testimony here upon the earth, that testimony, if it's real, ought to be confessing Christ, the life that you live, the actions that you perform, the way that you conduct your daily life. So, by your lips, by your lifestyle, even by your looks, ought to be something as you view the child of God that speaks of the Lord. That the way I appear before men, the way I dress before men, I'm saying this is how the Lord would have me to wear my clothing, and you are confessing Christ even in your looks in that sense. You also confess Christ in the love that you have for others. If a man loves Jesus Christ, he will not be ashamed to tell others. Now, the difficulty of confessing Christ is not without problems. It has never been easy in any age, and undoubtedly it was more difficult in days of persecution when Christians faced the stake. If you were in this church and you were out there in the fellowship area, you will know that we have the heroes of the faith around the walls. We have men that were great theologians, men that were great preachers. We have those that were great hymn writers, great missionaries of the cross, great evangelists, and so on. Men that were used in church history by the Lord. We also have portraits of the martyrs, and particularly the martyred bishops. If you knew that to confess the Lord Jesus Christ meant going to the stake, well then I would say that your heart would be filled with more fear and apprehension in the light of that. So it was undoubtedly more difficult for men of that age. But the fear of man brings a snare. And though we may not be facing the stake or to die in some other way, maybe in some Muslim country, being beheaded for your Christianity, there may be laughter, there may be ridicule, there may be contempt, mockery, hatred, and opposition of various kinds, because the world hates Christ. And if the world hates Christ, Jesus said it's going to hate you too. But whether we like it or not, and whether it's hard or easy, our duty is perfectly clear. Christ must be confessed. Now, no doubt our love for Christ should be a motive to confess Him. You just stop there for no other reason. I love the Lord. He means so much to me. He's the friend that sticketh closer than any other. And because I love the Lord Jesus Christ with great intensity in my heart, then I have no problem confessing Him before others. My love for Christ, you see, will bring me to do that. But there's another reason, another motive, and it's what our Lord is teaching here in these two verses of Scripture. Verse 8, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ will disown cowards and deserters. He will not plead for us. He will not deliver us from the wrath to come. He will leave us to reap the consequences of our cowardice and to stand before the judgment bower of God, helpless, defenseless, and unforgiven. Because a true Christian is not ashamed to confess Christ and to own Him as Savior. There's a third word that I want you to see, and it's in verse 10. It's a word about condemnation, an unforgivable sin. Look at the words of the 10th verse. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. There is a sin that is unto eternal death. Now, undoubtedly, our God is able to save. He's willing to save. He's mighty to save. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's no doubt about that. I want you to understand that tonight. I want you to know that, dear sinner. Whatever sin you have committed, the blood of Christ can deal with that sin. The blood of Christ can put away that sin. You can be cleansed, the Bible tells us, from all sin. Nothing is impossible with God. The chief of sinners can be saved. And we have examples of that over and over again in the Scripture. These things must not be forgiven. However, there is a sin which Jesus Christ identifies here that can never be forgiven, can never be purged away, can never be covered over in His blood, can never be pardoned by His mercy, can never be brought to the blood for cleansing. There is such a thing as an unforgivable sin. Now, the sin that our dear Savior refers to in this passage seems to be the sin of deliberately rejecting God's truth with the heart, while that truth is clearly known with the head. It seems to be that final moment of final rejection. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts men of sin. That's His responsibility to the world of the ungodly. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces men of their need of Christ. He's the one that enlightens men. He's the one that strives in the hearts of sinners. He's the one that burdens a man. He's the one that brings light and understanding to the soul. And He works in the hearts of sinners. He brings them under deep conviction of sin. He causes a man to feel his sin and depravity and guilt before God. And then there comes that moment when He works for the last time. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. And He works with power and deep conviction. And at that moment, the sinner in whose heart the Spirit of God has worked in that way rejects and refuses for the last time and says no to God and no to Christ and no to salvation and no to heaven. My dear friends, that moment he crosses the deadline at last. And there's no going back. And there's no forgiveness now to be obtained and found in the sight of God. No, he might live another 50 years and more. He'll never be convicted again about his sin. But the Spirit has departed. He might indeed listen to another 1,000 sermons being preached by the greatest preachers. He might be under the influence of mighty men of God. He might pass through a time of revival when all around in the community there are hundreds, even thousands of people getting converted, and that man will not be converted. He will not be saved. He may be pleaded with by loved ones who are Christians and concerned for their souls, by friends and preachers alike. He may be prayed over and over and over again. He may be persuaded with earnest tones and solemn entreaties, but it will have no effect upon him. Others around may be smitten and saved, but that man in whom the Spirit of God had moved with power, and that man who had rejected the dealings of the Spirit of God for the last time and blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, he will never be troubled, and he will never come to the Savior. Oh, my friends, let us pray that you will never be guilty of this sin. Let us pray that you will not cross the deadline of God's mercy. Let us pray that you will not harden your soul in such a way that you reject Christ for the last time. It can happen. Jesus tells us here it can happen. There is an unforgivable sin. And my friends, that's a word of condemnation, eternal condemnation forevermore. I say to you tonight at the close of this service, turn to Jesus Christ. I say unto you, three times over he uses this phrase, he wants you to listen to what he's saying. And these are the three things that he's saying to you. and you need to act upon them. If you're sitting there in your home and you're troubled about your soul, you seek Christ, you come to Him. Do not play around with those matters that are spiritual and eternal. Do not reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. God is speaking in this world. He's speaking through this awful virus that is plaguing the nations of the earth. He's speaking to you right now. And my friends, He uses these things, even the afflictions of life, to bring us to our knees, to bring us to salvation. You listen to what God Almighty is saying to your soul, and heed the Holy Spirit this very night. May God bless His word and bring you to Christ. And if you are concerned, and I know that we have this social distancing at the moment, if you are concerned, don't you let that worry you. We can talk to you on the phone. We can talk to you at a distance. But you make sure you come to Christ and you get right with Him. Let's bow together in prayer. Thinking of those words in Romans 10, 9 and 10, I quoted part of it earlier, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Almighty God, we pray earnestly tonight that there will be such a proper confession of Christ, that men will waken up, they'll sit up, they'll pay attention to what the Lord is saying. May the words of Christ grip their heart now, and may they come in true confession of the Savior, trusting in His redeeming blood, realizing that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, that we might be saved. And Lord, may that heart be given grace to believe, and may the mouth be given grace to confess. Speak, Lord, as this preacher's voice will now go into silence as far as this service is concerned. Spirit of the living God, speak on. Wherever a man is, wherever a woman is, a young person sitting listening to this word, Lord, speak to their heart. Bring them to the feet of the Redeemer, we ask. In the name of Jesus, and for God's eternal glory, amen and amen. We leave the word with you. We trust that the Lord will bring you to Christ. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in.